Tuesday was a historic night for Vermont Republicans. The GOP picked up 17 seats in the Vermont House of Representatives and 6 seats in the state Senate. That's a bigger net gain than any party has seen in this state in at least 3 decades. And as Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld reports, Republicans capitalized on voters' concerns about the rising cost of living.
U.S. Senator Peter Welch didn't vote on the state legislation that sent property taxes up by an average of nearly 14% this year. But he still gets an earful from his constituents.
I get an enormous volume of mail from Vermonters who can't figure out how to pay their property taxes. And they write to me even though I'm in Washington and I have no ability to affect that whatsoever.
Affordability, Welch told Vermont Public on election night, is the issue for Vermont voters this year.
You know, everyday Vermonters are wondering whether they can stay in their home. And if their property taxes keep going up, then they're really apprehensive about whether they'll be able to stay.
Those fears motivated the electorate on Tuesday in ways that Democrats weren't fully expecting. Jason Malucci, the campaign manager for Republican Governor Phil Scott, says he wasn't as surprised.
Yeah, I mean, based on, you know, some polling data, conversations with everywhere across the state, it was clear to us that there was something brewing in the electorate this year.
Scott's team seized the moment. The popular governor bankrolled TV, radio, and print ads in which he appeared alongside Republican candidates for state Senate. When internal polling indicated that many House districts were in play as well, the campaign invested there, too.
A few weeks ago, we realized, you know, we might have a chance here in the House, too, to make some significant gains. So we started focusing energy and resources to support House candidates as well, and it clearly paid off.
Scott spent more than $450,000 from his own campaign account to fund the venture. Jim Dandino, executive director of the Vermont Democratic Party, agrees it was money well spent.
I mean, he's the most popular governor in the country. That's obviously a very significant factor.
Dandino says Republicans also benefited from a powerful tailwind.
You know, things are not working right in Vermont, and a lot of folks blame Democrats in the legislature, so.
Even after Tuesday's historic losses, Democrats still retain a comfortable majority in the House and a 2-seat margin in the Senate. But they no longer enjoy the supermajority that has allowed them to unilaterally override Scott's vetoes and enact the sorts of expansive and often expensive policies, such as a payroll tax that funds childcare subsidies, that Scott railed so hard against on the campaign trail. Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth says it's on Democrats now to interpret the message that voters have sent.
You know, there's a clear result tonight that was not in our favor. So we need to listen to that. We can't walk away as though that didn't happen.
He says Tuesday's results also up the ante for Scott. The four-term governor has blamed Democratic supermajorities in the legislature for thwarting his affordability agenda. Now that they're no longer in place, Baruth says it's on Scott and his fellow Republicans to deliver on their promise to bring down costs on property taxes, health care, and housing.
I think, ironically, it will be harder for them not to come forward with policy solutions given their stronger numbers.
The governor is ready to embrace that pressure and work on it.
That's Jason Malucci again, Scott's campaign manager. Malucci warns, though, that results won't arrive unless Democrats heed the mandate that voters issued on Tuesday and work with Scott in ways they have not in the past. When the legislature reconvenes in January, neither party will be able to move major policy without support from the other, which means progress on the existential issues facing Vermont now rests or falls on bipartisan compromise. For Vermont Public, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.